Good morning, White Ray Radio listeners. This is Reverend Alan Urasaki, thanking all of you for listening today on this last Saturday of 2013. And as we look ahead to the year 2014 and the new year, I wish all of you a very happy and prosperous year, or new year, and hope that in the year 2014, all of our wishes, hopes, dreams, and aspirations can become a reality. Today, I just want to talk to you and share a little bit about our making of New Year's resolutions. For me, I've always had the same resolution, I guess, since I began as a minister, and that was to lose weight. And I think it's getting harder every year and year because instead of losing weight, I put on more weight. I also have these resolutions of exercising more or eating more healthy. You know, although those things, cut out my fried foods and McDonald's and all of those things. So those are the New Year's resolutions that that I keep. But I've come across an article by Tony Bernhard, and he says these are some of what kinds of resolutions might the Buddha have made during his life. And so I just want to share part of his article with you, because I believe you know, all of us, you know, because we do make resolutions, also you feel the Buddha also had those intentions. So these are the resolutions that the Buddha might have made. The Buddha's first resolution, in the article it says, "I will not believe in anything simply because I've heard it and it is rumored by many. I will not believe in anything simply on the authority of my elders and teachers. But after observation and analysis, when I know for myself that something, if undertaken, practiced, will lead to the welfare and happiness of one and all, I will accept it and live up to it." This is a shortened passage from the well-known sutra called the Kalama Sutta. The Buddha is telling us to take responsibility of our own lives, to check out everything for ourselves, including his own teaching. And if we decide to undertake it and practice it, then that'll be something that will benefit all beings, so that we should live up to it. The Buddha's second resolution would be, "Before speaking, I will reflect on whether what I'm about to say is true, kind, and helpful," similar to what we say in the Golden Chain, that we should have pure and beautiful, or speak pure and beautiful words. And so these three things about being true, kind, and helpful comes from the guidelines given by the Buddha on wise speech. The Buddha's third New Year's resolution would be, "Hatred never ceases through hatred. Hatred ceases through love. This is an ancient truth. I will not engage in hatred." This comes from that well-known passage in the Dhammapada, and we hear it often. And most recently in our Honganji circles, that has been part of the discussion when we speak about same-sex marriage and the divisiveness that has brought it, you know, throughout our community. We also can think about Nelson Mandela, who had just recently passed away. He had spent 27 years in prison, and when he was released, he came out not bitter or angry, but with an open heart that allowed him to do so much to heal the wounds in South Africa and to inspire people around the world to pursue a path of peace. the Buddha's fourth resolution would be, whatever I keep pursuing with my thinking and pondering becomes the inclination of my awareness, so I will watch my thoughts and their ways with care. From the golden chain, we say that we should think pure and beautiful thoughts, because all that we are come from our thoughts. Buddha's fifth resolution would be, this year I will not consider the faults of others or what they have or have not done. Rather, I will consider what I myself have done or have not done. We can say that, you know, I guess we should mind our own business. The Buddha's sixth resolution, he would say, as a solid rock is not moved by the wind, I will not be moved by praise or blame. Some of the Buddha's followers had harassed the monk because he was short. When the Buddha heard the monk showed no resentment, he noted that the monk had remained unmoved in praise and blame, like a rock. In another sutra, the Buddha said, there will always be praise and blame in this world. So I interpret the rock metaphor to mean that what matters to our well-being is our response to praise and blame when they're aimed at us. Will we be thrown about by the wind they create, or will we be still and know they are not what matter to our peace and well-being in this life? The Buddha's last and final resolution for the new year would be, I will develop and cultivate my mind. The Buddha said, just as of all trees, the blossom is the most soft and pliant, in the same way, I don't envision a single thing that when developed and cultivated is as soft and pliant as the mind. This is really great news. It means that even when we can't alleviate our physical suffering, we can develop and cultivate our minds to alleviate our mental suffering. I always think of the sermon, the Dharma talk given by Reverend Makino. When I was a college student, I attended Mo'ili Hunganji service, and Sensei would bring out a rubber ball. He would have a baseball and a kind of a rubber ball, and he always talked about the Japanese term. If I can remember correctly. Neo-nanshin, or is it neo-nanshin, the soft and pliable mind. And so he would compare the baseball as something, when our mind is hard, when we have anger, hatred, and greed, our mind becomes hard like the baseball. And if you've ever been hit by a baseball, you know that's pretty hard. And then he goes back to the rubber ball, which is soft and pliant. He says, when our mind is filled with peace and truth, that our minds become pliant. And so I remember that Sensei's talk. So for all of you, I wish you all a happy, prosperous new year. In 2014. And I want to thank all of you and have a merry and happy new year. Namu Amida Butsu.